This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best.
With guest host, Ryan Leaf, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And if you don't have a sense of excitement about this, I don't know what you're here for.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best.
Earlier on the show, Lakers writer for The Athletic, Bill Orem. Coming up, 11-year NFL veteran quarterback, Bruce Gretkowski. Plus, Rich checks in from the NFL Combine. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf. Third day in a row, filling in for Rich. He's in Indianapolis covering the NFL Combine.
What's up, Ryan Leaf?
First to finish, TJ Jefferson joining us along with Michael Beltufo. Hello. And our friend Chris Brockman. And Chris Brockman, it's a Friday. So
it's Friday then.
What's more likely?
Oh, we're going to do what's more likely right now, Ryan. You've never played?
I have never played
likely.
It.
We did it last week with Micah Parsons, TJ. That was dope.
That was amazing.
And so we're going to do it right now. Hit my music.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike Tomlin. All right, let's get to it, guys. You know how we do. We throw out two things and I ask you what's more likely. Make a decision. Life is about making decisions. Don't ride the fence. Pick one side or the other and let's do it. Okay, first up, Lakers, guys. That was so embarrassing last night. So what's more likely? Lakers miss the playoffs completely altogether or win a playoff series? Ryan, what say you?
Most likely they miss the playoffs completely.
Altogether. Not even the play-in.
Yeah. I think that's more likely than if they do get in with the play-in, they lose the series, whoever they're playing in the West. To me, there isn't a team that can't beat them.
Yeah, so they're the 9th seed right now.
So, I mean, they're only one game clear of the play-in tournament. So that for me is more likely than them getting into the playoffs after playing in the play-in tournament. And then ultimately
upsetting Phoenix or Golden State or whatever.
Right, yeah. I don't see that happening simply because of what you just said, the teams that are going to have to play in that first round, right? I'm more likely to go they miss it out completely.
Yeah,
and especially
TJ,
with the comment
TJ,
that Bill
think?
Made,
yeah.
What Bill talked to us about when you asked him the question around whether LeBron shuts it down. Like, if they get within, six games out and they know they're not in it anymore, or it's improbable, LeBron and AD don't even play the rest of the season.
Yeah, TJ, what do you think about that?
What are the two options again, Chris?
I would say they don't miss playoffs completely.
Yeah,
or they somehow win a series.
I think they miss completely. I agree with Ryan. Even if they get into the play-in, who are they going to be?
No, he's even saying miss the play-in completely.
I'm saying they're not going to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who could they? Who
nothing
could they possibly be.
Yeah.
You know what's going to be amazing? I just thought of this. Everyone likes to hate on LeBron as it is anyway. Myself included.
I don't
from time to time, just because it's fun. So if he hangs on here, right, playing all these crap games that are just blowing out, kind of like the A-Rod thing. A-Rod would always hit a home run down 9 in the 9th inning. He did a solo blast or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
If LeBron gets all these cheap points, but they're still losing by 30, and then he passes Kareem, how many people are going to be like, oh, well, he only got those points and they were losing by 30. Like, they didn't translate to any wins. So,
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're always
Kareem's still the all-time points champion for me.
Go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Plenty of people are going to make that argument because they're just trolls. It's points scored.
I can already see it coming.
How many years in those Cleveland years when as rookie and second year when they weren't making the playoffs?
yeah, that's
right?
Exactly.
How are those are not just vacant points too there, guys?
So we invalidate those points?
Yeah, that's what we do.
There's always in Brockman's one, he goes, I hate the LeBron stands. Well, I'm always quick to say there's also some just ridiculous LeBron haters who counterbalance those stands.
Look, I'm just saying, I'm just getting you guys ready for the argument, next year.
Oh, yeah,
it's
going to happen. You're right. You're absolutely
it's gonna
right.
Happen. All right, let's move on. TJ, this is specifically for you, so you can answer this first.
Okay.
And then, Ryan, since you played for the team, you can go second. Got it? What's more likely? To play in a Super Bowl first, the Dallas Cowboys or Amari Cooper?
Woo!
Because Amari Cooper's going to end up on the Rams somehow next year.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right?
Or the Patriots.
Or the Patriots.
The Cowboys are going to cut him, and he's going to go to Kansas City. Or he's going to go to Arizona because, as we all know, the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl next year because the Super Bowl is played where, Chris?
In Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah. So my worst nightmare will come to fruition. He'll either go to the Philadelphia team or the team in Washington or the little guys in New York. Do I have to say it?
Yeah, you have to say it, Mark Cooper. Just say it.
Why are you making me do this, bro?
No, the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl next year, right?
I mean, I have to stick with it. Yeah, Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl next year.
Ryan, more likely to play in a Super Bowl first, Cowboys or Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper. There's not even a question. The Dallas Cowboys aren't going to play in the Super Bowl.
See, that's a trick question because we're not cutting Amari Cooper, and he's going to win the Super Bowl.
You're not cutting him?
I don't know.
I mean, Adam Schefter's pretty good at his job.
I know, but he doesn't have it. Like, I'm inside. I'm a fan. Like, right. I'm a super fan.
You and Micah talked about some things.
Well, you know, Micah and I, we may have exchanged some texts.
Yeah.
You know, Troy and I may have a group chat with Dak and Irv and Emmett. We may. And again, we might not.
Yeah. We may not.
I'm like everyone at home who's getting mad about the Cowboys. You all love your team. I'm just you, except I'm sitting here and my team happens to be the Cowboys.
The thing about fandom sometimes, though, I'm a realistic fan. Like, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And you guys remember when I hosted the draft show a year ago? I was like, this is a rebuilding year. And when they were able to accomplish what they accomplished, I thought that was an incredible overachieve for them this year to get to the playoffs like they did. I mean, there's no way I saw that happening with their inability to address the offensive line position, Ben Roethlisberger on his last leg.
Yeah.
I thought, no way that was possible, and they did a great job. But I'm also a realistic fan, right? I understand that Pittsburgh's going to be, you know, they got to find a quarterback. It's going to be difficult. I'm with you. Dallas has a lot of the pieces. I just think the lone liability that existed for this team heading into the playoffs was Mike McCarthy, and that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed, right? You had an opportunity to really throw everything at Sean Payton, go buy him out of the contract. That's the guy you wanted. You know, we'll see. This is the last opportunity for Mike McCarthy.
Sean Payton came on this show and sat in that chair and basically said that he needed time off, so I think that's...
Well, you know what? I think everybody needs time off until somebody throws $150 million in front of their face.
Bingo. Also, Chris, you said he's a realistic fan. Let me explain something to you.
Ain't no thing.
In this world, there's enough real stuff going on in this country and in this world right now. I prefer to take those 18 weeks of football and just be as irrational and be a super fan because I can get realism Monday through Saturday. Let me just, like, pretend and let me think that my team is going to win every week.
Oh, it's
just
a,
like
it's
you
a,
should be doing... You know,
the NFL has figured out how to brainwash people. I mean, it is a real thing on Sundays, right? It is a drug of choice for many where you get outside yourself. You become another person.
Hours, you lock in. You plug Sunday. In. It's like the Matrix.
You know what I'm saying, Chris?
You plug in and it's go time.
There's enough real after that, man. Give me 3 hours to think that my team is the best ever. And then, you know, let me come back to reality after that. Like, that's all just right. how I look all at
right.
it.
Speaking of coming back down to reality, let's talk about Rich. a little combine. We saw Tyquan Thornton run a 4.28 officially yesterday. Officially, Ryan. So what are the chances? He plays wide receiver. So what are the chances? What's more likely? A defensive back goes sub 4.28, or
that's fast.
Rich goes sub 6.05, as some of the offshore gaming sites have put his over under total at 6.05.
It's more likely that a defensive back runs sub 4.28, and this isn't a knock against Rich. He hasn't been training like he has in the past.
He has not been training at all,
and it's okay, right? He's got things going on in his life, right? He's got the Super Bowl was held at SoFi. Just everything was there. He had to go and do a lot of work. Yeah. They're remodeling their house. I mean, all of these things can throw a huge wrench into your training schedule. And if you're not willing to really, you know, put aside some real time to train for the 40 to get below 6.05, it's most likely not going to happen.
And he's not running right now. He's actually running like a month from now.
Right, he's going to do it out here.
SoFi. Yeah, it's going to be a big event for St. Jude.
I was perfect this week. I don't know if you guys could tell. Here's the narcissist in me, but I feel like I've just over the 3 days on TV, I've leaned out.
You're wearing black.
Yeah,
slimming.
It makes you look slimming.
Yeah. But it's going to be all destroyed tonight, by the way. Just
by the Batman.
Human trash compactor coming in.
I do have one more. We do have one more.
Let's do one more here. What's most likely?
One more was what? NFL, Mike, NFL. What's more likely? Who's going to play without a new deal in 2022? Kyler or Lamar Jackson?
Kyler Murray's going to most likely play with a new deal because he doesn't deserve it yet.
Oh.
He hasn't done enough.
Really?
For this franchise, I believe. Don't sound like that
voice.
Hasn't
done enough?
No, not for this franchise. I mean, he is... The playoff performance can pretty much... If you want to, you can lay it squarely in his lap. I mean, it was a lot of things. They were without DeAndre Hopkins, but that's...
They stunk in that game.
They were terrible in that football game because... And it was a real false start for them because Matthew Stafford was really hesitant, right? It was the best thing in the world that could happen is them to go out and dominate defensively like they did and get after Kyler Murray because, for a team that was so good early on, they continued to have that end-of-the-year swoon. And so I agree that he is the future for this franchise, and I suppose that is counterproductive to what I'm trying to accomplish, right? I would want to see one more year. I want to see one more year. I want to see an advancement into the playoffs. That's what I want to see done. And if I don't, then you're in a spot where you're like, okay, what does this mean? Do we have to move on? Because the slightest change in quarterback play in this league gets you a title. That's just the bottom line, everybody. And it's hard to believe that it's this slight that gets you a title. But if your quarterback's not able to get it done, you know, are there quarterbacks out there that are able to get it done? The team hasn't been able to get it done. I would argue Josh Allen this year, right?
Those 13 seconds weren't his fault.
No, defensively, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
So I would argue that there's a quarterback out there that it's not on him on why the team hasn't won a championship, and he got the deal, right? I will say it from time to time in Arizona, it's on Kyler Murray, and it should be because that offense. It's predicated on him, and it's a reason why he was the number one overall pick. The fact that Cliff Kingsbury got the extension, that's meaningful to me because he fits the role of what Cliff wants to do in the NFL in terms of scheme. So, that being the case, I'm still willing to say that Lamar Jackson, because it sounds like we got some audio that we're going to listen to a little bit later from their organization at DaCosta around where they're sitting. With Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit later. Bruce Gradkowski is coming up, but it's just weird what's going on with Lamar.
Like, why isn't he more
motivated?
Yeah, let's listen to that audio. Listen to DaCosta there for the Baltimore Ravens talking about Lamar Jackson's extension.
Well, I hope so. At some point that we will. I think we've discussed this at length. And I said this before, we will work at Lamar's urgency. So he and I have had ongoing discussions. We've talked fairly recently as well. He knows how to find me. I know how to find him. I was very happy to see him working out on the West Coast recently with some of our guys. That's exciting, something that we really think will help us this year be the very best team that we can be. He's a guy that when we think about the Ravens, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we envision Lamar being a very, very big part of that team and definitely a player that can help us win Super Bowls.
Well, if I'm Lamar and I'm listening to that, that's an open invitation for me to walk into the general manager's office now and say, hey, I would like
like $200 million. Let's go.
Can I get a four-year $200 million deal, please?
Fifth-year option. Let's go. What are we doing?
Cash it.
When you're not, we don't have an agent advocating for you, and it's you have so much more on your plate. I mean, you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, the preparation, everything. You don't need that extra hassle, right? Lamar, get to it, man. You got a bag full of money sitting over there, and they're not hopping around and saying different things and this, that, and the other, or scoffing at stuff. They are saying, hey, we expect you to be the guy 5, 6 years down the line. Go get that bag, young man. When we come back, Bruce Gradkowski from Pro Football Focus is going to tell us all about it. But first, was the last time you seriously considered your dream?
Every day.
I mean, come on. You used to think about it all the time. What happened? I say it's time you and your dream get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites. Come to Montana. There's two great ones there. build a mountain cabin with your dad. Aha, that sounds sweet. Or you start your own business. Really, whatever you dream up. And it's a Mercedes. It's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about. So expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. We'll be right back with Bruce here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich. He's still in Indianapolis covering the NFL Combine for NFL Network. We'll get to him at the top of the next hour. Joined alongside here, TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, and Chris Brockman. Our next guest, who's joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans hotline, or phone line, is a guy I spent 4 hours with last night. Former NFL quarterback, analyst for Pro Football Focus, as well as a contributor to SiriusXM NFL Radio, NFL quarterback veteran, Mr. Bruce Gradkowski. Bruce, what's up, buddy? Good to hear from you again.
Hey, brother. Good. Thanks for having me. And I was going to say, those 4 hours, you weren't even whining and dining me with a good meal. We were just strictly talking ball. But it definitely was fun. I ran into your guy, Rich Eisen, the other day on the elevator as well. He was looking good. And I think it's always a great thing he does every year, running a 40, and I told him I'm looking forward to that. And I don't know why I get so much pleasure and satisfaction off of like someone's discomfort and watching him run a 40. I just really enjoy that, so I'm looking forward to it again this year.
Joining us on the phone, Bruce Gradkowski, former NFL quarterback and now analyst. So I've been telling the guys, right? I mean, there's been a lot of talk this morning around Malik Willis and the hype train. And you and I felt like saw it a little bit similarly yesterday. We saw some quarterbacks struggle a little bit, but kind of talk to us about what you saw. You were there in Indianapolis. You watched Malik Willis. You saw some of maybe the lack of fluidity in some of his throws. He uncorked one, of course, 65 yards down the field. I get that. But talk to us a little bit about what you saw last night from the young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, number one, when I saw him, you know, in person the other day, I went up, stood next to him because I wanted to eye him up and just see physically how he looked. And he's a good, strong looking dude, good, strong legs. He's probably, you know, about 6'1" or so, around my height. I might've had him just by a hair, but, and then you get to the throne. And I was so anxious to watch this part because to see someone in person, it's a lot different than with pads and in the game and all that. And to your point, that's a great point. It just, fluid. You know, it didn't look fluid to me. It looked like a struggle at times. And the inaccuracy, he was off. You know, he was inaccurate last night. I wanted to see more accuracy from him. But once again, you and I, you know, we pointed out last night that this is the first time them ever throwing to some of these receivers, you know, and you're standing in line, you're waiting for the next throw. It's not easy, but, you know, sometimes you can overthink things, try to be perfect. And I think I saw a little bit of that from him last night. Not that I'm overly concerned or I want to look too far deep into that, but yeah, it just wasn't the night. Maybe I just would have expected a little bit more from him, and I wanted to see more because I like him. I like his film. I like his athleticism. I like he's strong and can make plays outside the pocket, but I wanted to see better accuracy, more so kind of like of what we saw from Kenny Pickett last night.
Yep, that was my next question. You know, Kenny Pickett was the butt of all jokes yesterday, right? Smallest hands in the combine this year at 8.5 inches, right? NFL Network standing right there next to him. He's not oblivious to what's going on, right? The camera's not pointed at him or his face. It's pointed at his incredibly tiny hands is the way people are putting it. And then he goes out and puts on a show, right? Was probably the most accurate. He was forceful. He had a good foundation beneath him. He was accurate in all phases. He let the ball fly down the football field. I thought he did an exceptional job under the scrutiny and pressure that he had to deal with yesterday because of those hand measurements.
You're spot on. I mean, you have a camera down by your waist, like filming your hand. And, you know, we had an opportunity to talk to him on NFL radio this week, and I just loved his poise, his demeanor. Even last night, you could tell he's a guy that doesn't get rattled by much. He's got a really kind of smooth personality about him, and he's smooth on the football field as well. I think he's a football player, and a lot of times we can kind of nitpick things too much, but we can't forget about the game tape. And I asked him the other day, too, how did it feel to be a part of a rule change, you know, with the fake slide?
Right.
But when I watched that play, I knew it came natural to him. And those are the type of plays I try to find from a quarterback to see how instinctive they are. How can they react and just naturally make a play? And that's what he did in that moment. You know, he felt like he was going to slide, but at the moment he was like, wait, why? I could keep going. And he kept his feet and ended up scoring. So I like that part about him. I think he's a football player. I do, you know, I thought he had a great night last night. I was happy for him because of all the noise surrounding how big his hands measured. So for him, I'm happy for him that he had a good night. There is, so I still do have some concerns. I mean, college football players, they don't play games in December and January. Yes, they have a bowl game and whatnot. Usually it's indoors or it's in better weather. But December and January, that's when you have to play your best football in the NFL. So I do have some concerns about maybe his arm strength and his accuracy when you're playing in tough environments weather-wise. But I do really like how he's a football player, and I was glad he had a good performance last night.
Yeah, I was too. It was fun to see him overcome something he can't control, right? He can't control the size of his hands, right? What he can control is what he did last night. Talk to us about some guys that piqued your interest that you maybe didn't necessarily see coming into it, but performed extremely well, and I think probably made themselves some money last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Desmond Ridder, just the way he ran, like a 4.49, I mean, he's moving, and that's going to kind of pique your attention if you're a scout, just knowing, oh, he's got some speed to him as well, because he's had a great college career. You know, what he did at Cincinnati, where he brought that football team, he has a lot of reps under his belt. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think he has to be better, as I watch his tape, is being more consistent, being more accurate. That's what I'd like to see from him. But I think that 40 is gonna kind of pique some team's attention. You know, and then guys down the list a little bit, you know, Dustin Crum, you know, a guy from Kent State, had a phenomenal career there. You know, he's a smart guy. He's going to execute the offense. I thought last night he was just one of those guys that stepped in, and when it was his turn to throw, he was accurate. He completed the ball, and he had good timing and rhythm, and he got back to the back of the line. Like, he's a guy, he didn't say much, did his job, and that was it. And it was spot on. It was like the rhythm and timing you want to see from a quarterback. It was a go ball over the shoulder that was perfect, twice. Right in a row he did it, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, Brock Purdy, I was a fan of his at Iowa State because he's tough. He plays the game fun. It's fun to watch. But he'd make some, like, boneheaded decisions, and I thought that hurt him later on, you know, in his career at Iowa State, and it hurt that football team. But I thought last night, he actually did put a good performance on. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he had good timing and rhythm. He was accurate with the football. He's a guy in later rounds. Hey, he's a football player. If your team needs to put a backup in, he could probably get the job done, and he has to be smarter making decisions. But other than that, I thought he did pretty well. You know, Sam Howell, you know, we watched him. I thought, you know, one side to the other, he threw better. I think it was going to his left, and then when he went to his right, he was just off. But he's a guy that, you know, had a great college career, shows he has a good arm, shows he's athletic. But I wanted to see more out of Sam Howell last night because at PFF, he's our number one quarterback. And I'm not sure if, you know, I'm on board with that. But I thought last night I wanted to see more from him.
We're speaking with Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus analyst, as well as SiriusXM Radio, Channel 88 as well. You listen to me. I really like Carson Strong. I liked what he was in college, but now he's had two opportunities, the Senior Bowl and now the Combine, at least the throwing aspect of it. And he's looked a little shaken, right? He hasn't looked the part. And I've watched him on tape and in big games and games against better quality opponents like Kansas State, and he has looked like the real deal. So what's your biggest takeaway from him? Because he's easily the most physically talented player at the quarterback position in this year's NFL draft.
Oh, for sure. And you talk about the amount of reps and throws that he has in his college career has been impressive. You know, you're talking about a guy, you know, five big-time throws and zero turnover where he plays for us at PFF versus Colorado State in his final career game. I mean, you know, that's him. That's what he's capable of doing. But, you know, and that's what I loved about you last night. Like you did, you were talking highly of Carson Strong coming in. And then, you know, at one point you did. You were like, you know what? This is the second time in a row on a big stage with the Senior Bowl and now the Combine that he has not stepped up and taken advantage of that. And that's what I saw last night. Like for me, you know, you and I were talking about it. It sometimes as a quarterback, you try to overthink things. You try to be perfect, and you aim your throws. You try to guide your throws instead of just taking your drop and letting that sucker loose. You got to let it rip and not overthink it. And last night, Carson Strong looked like he was trying to be perfect and just, you know, pinpoint accurate. But sometimes when you overthink that, you know, he threw a couple slants that were right at the knees. He threw an in route right at the knees. It stinks for him, but he'll get another opportunity to his pro day. And for a guy that's just a pocket-type passer and with the talk around his knee and how healthy can he be, I think last night wasn't his best performance.
Yeah, it was disappointing, especially for somebody who thinks he has a heck of a career ahead of him at the NFL level. All right, let's bounce around the league a little bit. The quarterback position, as always, as we head into free agency, as we head into the new league year, is the conversation piece. You know, the biggest ones out there, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, once again, what that's going to look like. Aaron hasn't made a decision. Russell's a Seattle Seahawk. There's nothing changing there unless something's forced where he doesn't show up and play. But the bigger conversation is, and we had it a little bit earlier, around Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, both guys that have extensions available to them, and Kyler Murray has come out blatantly and said this is what I want, I need this is the direction and loyalty I need to be shown for me to really put it all in with what I need to do here in Arizona. Where on the other side of this, DaCosta talks about how he's waiting for Lamar. This is on Lamar's timeline. If I'm Lamar, I'm like, go get that bag of money, young man. And right. And so what do you think about the two dynamics here? One with an agent, one with an overzealous agent, but both in similar situations.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think a little different, you know, on their career paths right now. I think Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's already shown it. I mean, being an MVP for a year, showing what he could do. The Ravens came in the last season with a lot of guys injured. But they were competitive through the season until Lamar Jackson got hurt. So Lamar Jackson gives you a chance and elevates those around him. And that's always the quality I look for. He's a likable guy. He elevates those around him. He's a great team player. Guys in the locker room love him. He's going to get his money. And I think it is just probably wait until Lamar Jackson and his camp, and I know it's kind of just him, approach the Ravens and try to get a deal done. And I think it would be the smart thing to do. I think that's a no-brainer. You look at Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray had a phenomenal year. He's been doing some good things. You know, Arizona started off hot, but then he gets injured. When he comes back, it doesn't look the same. And now you have a guy coming out with his agent putting the statement out there. To me, I just didn't like that approach. You know, it seems like a lot of kind of pelting in a sense. Give me what I deserve. Give me my money or I'm going home. Like, and now I get it. You know, is he going to show up for $5 million this year? I don't know. And should he? I don't know. He's done a phenomenal job. He's a good piece to that team. But I have more concerns of the things we hear lingering out there about his leadership and where he is right now, because that's what you need going forward is a leader, to be a leader, to elevate those around you, like we're talking about Lamar Jackson. So for Kyler Murray, I don't know. I would kind of wait this out and franchise him and see how this goes. But on the other side, you know, him and Cliff Kingsbury share the same agent. Cliff Kingsbury just got re-upped. I could imagine they're in talks with Kyler Murray, but it's just a tough decision to make. And I think you only know what you want to do if you're in that organization, because you're around him. You see how the guys act around him. And if he's the guy for the future and you know that, then I have no problem handing out that bag of cash. But until then, maybe you wait another year or two and let him prove himself once again.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. Bruce Gradkowski, former NFL quarterback, 11-year veteran, Pro Football Focus analyst, and with SiriusXM NFL radio as well. The wide receivers, we watched them run last night, right? The 40-yard dash. And Chris Brockman and I here on the show were kind of talking about it early on. When they run it, they're on TV. In person for you, you watch the number go up on the board, and Tyquan Thornton goes 4.21, and everybody goes, "Oh my God, he just broke the combine record!" And he's probably thinking, "I dropped the mic. I got $1 billion in the bank. I'm jumping up to the first round. All this stuff." And then, you know, an hour later, it comes back out that it's not that, and you've forfeited your opportunity to run it again. Now, don't get me wrong, 4.28 is an amazing fast speed, but you feel like you can run faster and because you were shown something that really wasn't real and you decide not to run for a second time, I mean, that's got to be diminishing responses from players. What is your takeaway with that? Chris Olave, another one who ran a 4.29 and then was ended up in the 4.39 area.
No, absolutely. And you and I saw eye to eye on this one. I mean, that was disappointing last night when we heard that, because you do get really excited if you're the player. And just like you said, I mean, now you're like, why? Why even run another one? I just broke the combine record. I'm good. I'm done. And then it comes back from a 4.21 to a 4.28. But either way, this guy can move. I think he has the production at Baylor. He's not a small guy either, being 6'2". I think that's the thing I like about him as well. So he definitely made a name for himself. He definitely maybe stepped up the board a little bit more with his 40, but man, you know what? Just think if you're his agent too. Think we got one, we made it. Yes, we broke the record, and then to find out you didn't. But I still think he did a great job, and you know, give him a lot of credit for putting in the hard work to be prepared to run a fast 40. 4.28 still moving. I would love to know what that feels like. Just like I told you last night, I'd love to know how it feels to throw the football if I'm Ryan Leaf. You know. Me over here, you know, I got those little lollipops going on. I'd love to know what it feels like to rifle one like you were able to do.
Well, you did pretty good for yourself. In fact, I want you to tell a little bit of your story, right? Just, you know, and you talked about it last night on the radio, how some of these players have made a name for themselves, have maybe slipped their note under the door here for some of these general managers, Crum being one of them from Kansas State. Brock Purdy at Iowa State, that they can take a look at. And you get into an organization, right? You get in a fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh round, or even as a free agent, as long as you get on a roster, because your situation, you end up in Tampa Bay with John Gruden, you learn an offense, and then Chris Sims goes down and you get thrust in and get to start, what, 11 games as a rookie? I mean, talk to us about that and your story a little bit through this process.
No, for sure. A lot of times, all the players get caught up on, when am I going to get drafted? But you have to take a deep breath and take a back seat and think, look, it's not so much when, but it's where. You want to go to the right situation. And for me, coming out in 06, man, I wanted to get drafted as high as I could. I thought possibly in the third round. When I saw Brody Croyle going off the board and Charlie Whitehurst and all these guys going off the board, I'm thinking I'm next at any moment. And I didn't go until the sixth round, but I went to Tampa Bay. And I remember my agent at the time saying, look, this is a great spot because you're gonna learn a lot of good football. And I did. The first minute I got there, John Gruden said, listen, I want you to take that blank or that cassette tape out of your head of football that you know, and I'm going to put a new tape of what you're going to learn, and you're going to learn my, you know, new football and good football. And he did. I learned so much good football, and he taught me through OTAs, mini camp, training camp. I had to learn with a sense of urgency as if I was going to be the starter. And with him coaching that way, it made me learn that way. And I was thankful I did, because when Chris Sims went down third or fourth week of the season, I was the backup, and it was my time to go in. And so I was prepared in the sense of knowing the offense, understanding what to do, that I was ready for that moment. But, you know, as a rookie, you live and learn. You have some good moments. You have some not-so-good moments you have to learn from. But that helped propel me to have an 11-year NFL career because of just such a good foundation of learning football the right way. So when I see these guys coming out, like a Dustin Crum, you know, guys that even the big guys we're talking about, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, where are these guys going to end up going? I wouldn't be so anxious to go so high in the first round. Let it unfold. If you go later in the first round, if you go second round, it's not a bad thing. It's not when you go, it's where you go. And I think some of these quarterbacks are going to end up having a really good career once it unfolds and we see who their coach is, who the system is, and who surrounds them. Because at the end of the day, that's a beautiful thing about football. It's the ultimate team game.
Tell us a little bit about how Gruden got after Sims, because that is historical stuff. And I spent some time down in Tampa, and I've heard some stories, but just kind of talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, like, we're in training camp my rookie year, and Gruden's getting after me, and I feel like, I'm like, man, I can't do anything right. Sims looks at me, and he's like, no, you have it easy. You don't even know how this guy was to me. And I told you a story last night, though. Not only so much Gruden, but when you get in the NFL, I mean, you have older veterans now. You're 21, 22 years old coming into the NFL. You're around guys that are in their 30s,
yeah,
that have a family and kids. And this is their job. I mean, it's not a game. I mean, it is a game, but it's a business. And I remember being in the huddle with Mike Allstott, Joey Galloway, Anthony Beck, Cadillac Williams, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not getting in the huddle and not going to be able to enunciate these plays. I have to know them like the back of my hand.
Because they were so long. They were incredibly long.
This one play that kept me up at night, it was Indy right 10, X short, fake 96 Power King, naked left, X slot. And I still know that to this day because I could not sleep until I got that right, because I wasn't going into the huddle and not going to know how to call this play when I had Michael Pittman split out as a wide receiver. Then I had to shift him back in the backfield. Then I had to send a motion. I mean, so there's a lot going on. And real quick, another story. I get in the huddle at training camp, and there's this play, green right west, 93 week, can it with 96 power king. So that's two runs we called it in the huddle. And I called both runs to the right side. I said 92 week, can it with 96 power king. We break the huddle. I get to the line of scrimmage, and I start telling my O-line, oh, no, shoot, it's 93 week. It's 93 week. I turn back to tell Mike Allstott, and he grabs my face mask. He goes, which one is it? Get it right. And, you know, he used maybe a little different kind of language that way. But in that moment, I was like, oh, man, I can't mess up a play.
Yeah, yeah. I played with Mike, too, in Tampa and with that crew. And I felt the same way, right? I got in the huddle with Keyshawn and Allstott and Warwick Dunn and those guys, Joey as well. So yeah, it's a different world. Hey, Bruce, thanks for taking some time, man, and breaking it all down for us.
No, for sure, Ryan. Thanks for having me on. It was good to be with you last night, today. Have a good week.
You too, man. Have a great weekend. Bruce Gradkowski, everybody, 11-year NFL veteran, analyst for the Pro Football Focus, as well as SiriusXM NFL Radio. All right, when we'll come back, we'll kind of unpack what Bruce had to say about all that combine news. Rich is going to join us at the top of the hour. And when we get back, you're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Leaf.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich, joined by TJ Jefferson, as always, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman.
Hey.
Interesting stuff from Bruce there around the quarterback play. I think him and I, maybe we kind of worked on each other in terms of what we saw from Malik Willis. We are definitely in the minority when it comes to what people perceived to have seen from him last night, though we both think he's very capable of playing at a high level. It just seemed the bright lights were a little big for him last night. You know, Liberty being maybe a little bit smaller college. I don't want to reach too far into that bag, but I think there's I feel like Kenny Pickett came away thoroughly the best on-field player from last night.
Yeah, and it was interesting to look at mock drafts and where people have him slated. You know, every mock draft is different, I suppose. But the highest I've seen was him at 11. Do you think he gets that high? Is that right for him? I mean, if you just want to make a prediction here about 6 weeks out.
I hope the tiny hands scenario follows him so closely and he slips and falls to my Pittsburgh Steelers. I would love that. For him to be Ben Roethlisberger's replacement and to have a unbelievable career, because
Pittsburgh, if you are at 20,
yeah, so that's significant. That's nine spaces, you know. Mm-hmm. I think somebody's going to fall in love with him and move up to get him. I really think he has a chance to go in the top 10. To be honest with you,
yeah. So, do you think it's going to be a trade situation, or do you think Houston seems to have found a guy in Davis Mills?
Yeah, I don't think they'll reach for one. I think there will have to be a trade. I think there's going to have to be somebody down the line that wants to move up and get him. It could be the Steelers, right? That could be a team that ultimately hears a few things and has to make some moves to move up to get him.
Yeah, our buddy Bucky Brooks, he has Carolina taking him at 6.
Sam Darnold still owed $19 million, everybody,
they
right?
They picked up his fifth year. Yeah. He's getting paid.
He's getting paid.
Getting paid for this season.
So, they made that decision a year before he even played to down with them. So that's kind of on them. Two bad contracts then in the eyes. If he doesn't play for him this year, then that means Teddy Bridgewater as well as Sam Darnold playing somewhere else with all that cash that the Carolina Panthers dished out for quarterback play. So,
well, this is probably a make-or-break year for Matt Rhule.
I talked to a couple guys in the know around Matt Rhule, and very similar to the Urban Meyer situation, where they still have that collegiate mindset. People forget that Nick Saban didn't have the same effect in Miami, right? Either he pushed buttons differently because it wasn't the same.
Right.
You do it differently at the collegiate level, and college football coaches are like gods in those towns, right?
Yeah.
And what Matt Rhule was able to accomplish in Waco, right, and get that amount of money to come to Carolina, he's pushed a lot of people the wrong way. And you are exactly right. He is in a direct hot seat, and it's where we go from there. There's somebody on the phone line that wants to chat here in Brockman. Who do we got?
Oh yeah, line one, Mike. Art in Kentucky wants to talk some non-alcoholic beer. This is going to be great.
All right, what's happening? Art, how we doing, man?
And what's going on, fellas? It's great to talk to you again. Hey, I had one of my horrible tagline moments. I was like, the non-alcoholic beer, it's all the bloat and none of the fun.
I don't know. I don't get bloated when I drive. I have a couple, and I'm like, for me, a lot of the time, Art, for me, it's when I'm in social settings. And I just feel uncomfortable with everybody holding a glass or something like that. And it's just, it's more or less for me. I know a lot of different alternatives are that are getting, soda water with lime, things like that. But for me, yeah. I still like the taste of it. And to me, it's still, I love Brockman's that he said earlier today. All the same great taste, none of the bad choices.
Yeah. Same great taste, none of the bad choices.
Right. And literally, I thought that, and then Brockman said it. I was like, bless it. God bless it. I was like, you took it. But I talked to you a couple months ago, and it's been a minute since we talked last. Like, if there's anybody that's a fanboy, my friend, it's me on you. I love what you do when you visit the Rich Eisen Show. I love the camaraderie between all of you guys. I was the gentleman that was in the process of adopting our foster kids. Oddly enough, St. Patrick's Day is going to be that day.
So congratulations, Art.
Thank you, and I appreciate you guys. And look, man, I know what recovery is all about, and the transparency that you show to, you know, through it all about your struggle and you, not just your struggles, but, you know, your successes. I do the same thing with my kiddos, and it means all the world. You know, I think you're keeping a lot of people from going down a bad path and reaching out to those folks that might need a hand up once in a while. So I always get giddy when I get to see you come on Rich's show, and I love everybody there, and we appreciate you guys, and you know, lots of love from here in Kentucky. All right,
thanks for the call,
thanks, Art.
Really appreciate it,
man. Best of luck.
Yep.
I think once again I was thoroughly overwhelmed by the outpouring of affection and support from people who watch this show and listen to this show. The platform that Rich has developed with you guys, I think, is amazing, because that opening yesterday has impacted a lot of people, and they've reached out and talked to me about it, which is awesome. It's exactly what you want to do. You want to start the conversation, kickstart it, make it continue, destigmatize anything and everything that comes with it, and why we do it. So I appreciate everybody once again for being a part of this. We'll be right back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. So as I was saying, the platform that Rich and you guys, because you guys are a huge part of this, the crew, the camaraderie, the platform that you guys have built, it's amazing. The people that stick around, listen, are a part of what you guys do. And that's got to be incredibly meaningful for you guys too, because it's not just all sports all the time. It's a conversation piece. But then to have that kind of platform and be able to reach people in a different way is incredibly impactful. I feel that every time I'm here. So I guess it's an open letter of gratitude to all you guys. Once again, everybody listening, and of course, Rich and Chris and Mike and TJ, you guys make this easy, right? You make this easy for me. It's not overly welcoming to look into a camera and kind of rip off the Band-Aid and talk about those things.
Yeah,
and so I appreciate you guys being a part of that as well.
Yeah, we love that about you when you come in, just the open and honest dialogue. And you can see it in the tweets. People that don't normally chime in or interact with the show, they come out of the woodwork for something like this when you're here because they have that commonality, that common thread point of recovery with you, and it's fun, it's important, and we're happy to be a part of it and happy to have you here, man.
I appreciate that, as always. I do. When we come back, we're going to talk with Rich Eisen. He is the host of the Rich Eisen Show, as you know, and thus the name of the show. Though I'm throwing my hat in the ring. At some point, he's got to retire, right?
Well, you
at
know,
least as, from this.
As Jerry Jones pointed out, like to Mike McCarthy, he's not going to be the head coach forever. So Rich is not going to be the host of the Rich Eisen Show forever. So someone has to pick up that mantle at some point.
But has the brand been built so well that the Rich Eisen Show can continue
with a different host,
with Ryan Leaf as the host?
Great question.
I think there's a real possibility
Great
with that.
Question.
And I also think that, you know, it coincides with the possibility of me being the color commentary guy on Amazon's new Thursday Night Football. So
I don't think Rich is really wanting or thinking about this show continuing without him anytime soon.
Well, I get that. I get that. But at some point, that greatness has to transcend. All right? It does. When we come back, the man himself, Rich Eisen, here on the Rich Eisen Show.